Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mike McCarthy Podcast, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, along with Larry McCarron. And Mike, I know the whole thrust is moving on, but I want to go back to Monday, because less than 24 hours after a crummy game, I didn't see you down. I saw you determined. Would that be accurate? There was a determination there, and you weren't wallowing in anything or something like that. It was determined.
Well, I'm glad. That's great. I'm glad that's what it looked like, because when I think of Monday, I was exhausted. Just going back through the tape over and over. I think like we all do, you know, coming right from the plane to the stadium and grading it. I'm determined. I mean, absolutely, I'm determined. We have a very good opportunity as a football team, and you know, you're only guaranteed 16 of them. And you know, I didn't feel that I took full advantage of the last opportunity, and I'm all about applying, you know, to the next game or applying to the next day. That's just a general thought process of mine, always has been in coaching, and I just wanted to make sure that everything was detailed, everybody was accountable, you know, starting with myself, and because as we go down into the locker room, you know, you could see when the players are coming around Monday, Tuesday, they're worried about, hey, what's the mood around here and so forth and so forth. But I feel like I've been very direct and open and honest with the teams that I've coached in the past, and that's no different with this one.
Taking this not down but determined thing that I felt like I saw, it reminded me of going back to 2010. We were sitting in this very room, and you guys had just lost to the Patriots, mm-hmm. Sunday night game. And it wasn't a bad game you were coming off. It was kind of a bad month. You lost three of four. There was reasons, but you lost three of four, two straight. And you're talking about the game, and this is off the air. You're talking about the game, talking about players. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you just stopped and said, we got to get to the Super Bowl, got up and left. And you had that determined look in your eye. And the question is, what enables you to see it when other people aren't? Like with your team, like you saw you had the vision, and nobody was thinking Super Bowl. You were 8-6 and lost three of the last four. Nobody was thinking that.
You know, I'm a big believer in indicators. I'm a big believer in collecting data statistically of things that you just can't check a box, or and you have to be able to see attitude. I mean, you got to be able to register that and put that on a scale. You got to see how it's effort, and there's, you know, certain things that you do each and every day. I mean, how do you evaluate focus? You know, how do you measure focus? So the ability to put measurables on the key components of success is a huge part of being a head coach in the National Football League. And at the end of the day, it's about play style. And I think it's an excellent analogy when you look at the Patriots game in 2010 as opposed to our last game against Denver. When you play the right way, I don't ever, ever, ever worry about the outcome of a game. Never have. It's just something I learned as a young kid, because I knew I just always felt if you would play the right way, that would take care of itself. Now, I mean, trust me, everybody in our building wants to win, 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 win. We clearly understand the expectations that people have for us, but you know, people got to understand the expectations that we put on ourselves, and let alone the commitment that we have to one another. So the winning part of it, trust me, that's the goal. But the focus is always on the way you play the game. And that game in New England, we played the right way, and we played the brand of football that we wanted to play, and the outcome was what it was. So, and that's not the case in, you know, last week. And that's the first time this year that I had that feeling. Our play style was not intact. So, and that's been the focus all week. It's not really about Carolina, what they do. We have obviously great respect. We've gone through the opponent process of preparation that I like to apply to that. And they're undefeated. You know, they get respect earned. But, you know, this ain't the way our approach is. This ain't about them. This is about our play style, going down, tapping out, committed to everyone. And just playing to our standard, playing to our play style, and the result will take care of itself.
Getting to the point you just made, Mike, individually, it really boils down to the other guy's got to beat you, and it's always, at the end of the day, it's always about the team in the mirror, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, because you have to look in the mirror, and it's you know, it's not to repeat the same answer. It's about how you play. It's how you initiate the contact. You initiate the first part of the play, but more importantly, how you finish each and every play. And if you're successful, you start stacking the successes, and then everybody takes the same approach, and that's how you get the performance go to the same way. Now, I mean, everybody wants to talk about when they're an athlete, and you know, my father didn't play sports because you know he was working at the age of 13, 14 years old, and I used to try to get out of the house as far back as I remember because he'd tell me one thing every time. He said, be aggressive. That's all he cared about. That's all. When he went to the game, he just wanted to see, be aggressive. He didn't talk about how many points you're going to score or how many tackles you're going to make. And that's something I know it's ingrained in me. And when my football team isn't being the hammer consistently, that bothers me. So and rightfully so, and it bothers our football team. So we'll get back to playing the way we're capable of playing.
A word I heard a lot at practice this week was tempo. I heard that a lot, and you guys obviously are emphasizing it.
Well, hey, our play count's down. So, I mean, we got to get in and out of the huddle. You know, it's the same thing, defense. We got to get up and get ready. But, you know, the most important part of the tempo is the grit. You know, the full message is tempo and grit, because grit is the X factor in a game of football. So that will never change. And when you evaluate people, you evaluate performance, grit separates the good from the great. The great from the good.
Mike, I knew as soon as there came a stretch where you weren't lighting up the scoreboard, the question had come, and it came this week during one of your press conferences about play calling, i.e., Mike, are you thinking about it and stuff, and how do you look at that?
Well, I think like the whole process, you got to look at yourself. And frankly, we're gonna make an adjustment this week. We could talk about it Monday, but in hindsight, job responsibility, you know, we go through a change. You know, I probably might have asked too much from Tom. So, I mean, Tom is an excellent play caller. Him and Aaron are connected. I don't have concerns about that. So, we need to get to the things that we have a lot of time and reps and practice, get to those concepts and rely on those and let our guys play. So, this is a talented offense. It's explosive offense, and I have confidence we'll get back playing the way we're capable of playing.
Mike, switch gears a little bit because just to give this serious thinking a break for a moment, give you a break for a minute. Now, from the outside looking in, I think when you were an assistant coach, you probably loved sitting around BSing with the guys, telling stories and stuff like that. Now that you're a head coach, Can you still have that kind of relationship, or is it kind of different? And if it is different, do you kind of miss that?
Well, I definitely miss it, but I still do it. But it's funny because when you're going back and forth, you're spending more time on one side of the ball than the other, and I've never heard them say it, but I can remember when being a young assistant, because Marty Schottenheimer was like that. When Marty was in your room, the iron meeting went to 2 hours. So, and I kind of get that sense too from, if I go to an offensive meeting or defensive meeting, it's kind of like, this is going to be a long one. But because with that, you got to tell a few stories. What the hell, that's like I tell our guys all the time that the thing, I love Tuesdays. Tuesdays, it's fun, but, I used to really enjoy Tuesdays because I was building a plan, for the offense. But Tuesdays, I mean, you're in there going through the plan. Stories come up, and it's just they've all heard the same story five times, and they get better each time you tell it. And yeah, that's part of the grind, and I think that's why you have the relationships that you have on a coaching staff. But when I was assistant, plus I was single, so I mean, I obviously did a lot more, But now I have the most important part of my life, and that's to try to get home and see my little girls before they go to bed, or try not to go too many nights without seeing them. So that's I don't tell as many as I used to, I guess, to answer your question.
That's something else that you brought up right there. Okay, you're single guy for a while and doing single guy things and whatever, and like now you're totally family. Was it just a night and day thing or a conscious decision? Because that's a big change.
Yeah, well, I mean, being single, I think is it puts you in a certain category. But we've always been about family. I mean, I've always been very close with my family. My family's always been very important to me as a big part of my career. So they, whatever NFL city I was in, they were, always there. And, once my father retired, my mother and father were able to come to a lot more games. And so that, that's always been in place. So, and Alex, she was always at the forefront of everything I did. But, frankly, in hindsight, because, the good Lord has a plan for you, being single for that stretch of my life really helped me because I went through a phase which I think all coaches go through where, I was going to outwork the other guy each and every day, each and every day week. And, and I worked, ridiculous hours, probably from 93 until, the last five or six years. Because even the first couple of years as a head coach, you're trying to get your program the right way and so forth. And I'll be honest, I'm thankful for technology. Technology has made professional coaching, more practical as far as your time management, and because what you're able to get done today compared to from a technical standpoint, what you're able to get done 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago, it's mind-boggling. Because you get cut-ups like that, you can pull the whole NFL season of an offense like that. It's at your fingertips. Where I mean, it take you a week to do that, let alone break it down. So I mean, it take you a month. So that part of it's really helped, and like I said, the good Lord had a plan for me. I was single and worked around the clock, and then, which prepared me to be a head coach.
Mike, you mentioned your oldest daughter, Alex, and she's out in California chasing her dream to be a writer. How's that going?
It's going good. She's actually taking another. She just started a new class. She's really really excited about. It's acting and writing. So she's trying to learn the whole gamut, which, it's funny. She's, you've been around Alex. She's got a lot of personality, and, her teacher's an older gentleman that's been out there for forever, and, he kind of picks on her, and, he's always prodding at her, which she loves because she knows it's in her best interest, and, he's building her confidence and so forth because, this is all new for her. But it's going well. I really enjoy the conversations at night to hear some of the things she's doing during the day. And, that's a different lifestyle out there as far as, acting and just, some of the exercises they do. But also I've been able to pick up a few things that I've been able to use in a speech or two. So it's, education is always constant.
Mike, like I know you're totally committed and love Alex to death and all that stuff. Do you ever, however, get those calls from Alex and like, not right, not right now? I mean, you know what I mean? Those calls like, I'm the timing of them or whatever, like, it's just brutal.
Well,
like, I mean, being a dad is 24 hours. I get it.
Yeah,
there's sometimes my daughter's calling. It's like, not. Do you ever feel that way?
Well, I think clearly the best communicators are the best listeners. And anybody knows my daughter, Alex, I got a lot of practice at listening. So she's always got a lot to say, and it's awesome. It happens. But if it happens during the day, well, she understands. I mean, she knows this business better than anybody. I mean, she's the one that's been there the whole time. So she knows exactly the stresses of the job. If we have a moment during the day, and we'll just talk that evening. But also, we all know our children. You have daughters also. If they have that certain tone in their voice, you drop everything. So you do that for your wife and your kids and anybody in your family.
An exciting new feature on the Mike McCarthy podcast.
Unsung
Heroes. And maybe pick somebody out every week, somebody on the staff that is one of those people. I think my way of putting it is make the Packers the Packers. Just do a great job.
You talking coaching staff, football operations?
Anybody.
Well, who do we want to be first? I'll tell you, I think we have to go with Jason Wallers.
Your public relations director?
Absolutely. I don't think people clearly have an understanding of, you know, the diversity of his job, the tolerance that it takes, that he has to go through both dealing with, you know, media and then dealing with me and, you know, coaches and so forth and players. So his ability to work through all the different, you know, departments and he does it with a very consistent, you know, direct personality. You know, he's fun to be around. I mean, he's got a dynamic personality. He has a bright future. It's been fun to watch him, you know, since he got here. And I think he was like 13 years old when we hired him. Or he looked like he was 13. But, you know, it's been fun to watch him grow. But, no, he does so much behind the scenes. He's our number one unsung hero.
Well, if I had him mic'd up, we'd get a response to that, but we don't. Maybe some other time, Jason. Thank you, Mike. Speaking of jobs around here, the other day I was walking through the atrium, and you know that big, giant floor-to-ceiling window outside the big trophy, the Super Bowl trophy?
Okay.
Like right on Club 1919? It's like a floor-to-ceiling, huge window.
Okay.
There's a guy out there on like a line, and he's got suction cups, and he's swinging up and down, and it's really cool. I could have watched him all day, and I probably watched him too long. But my question for you is there any job, besides the one you got, is there any job you think, man, that would be a cool job that you've seen that you think, I would like to do that?
Oh, yeah. I tell Ruben all the time down there in security, you know, he works the security gate for the load dock. I said, just so you know, man, when they throw me out of here, I said, I'm coming after your job. You better make sure you perform. I'm working Doug Collins all the time because that's the job I'm vying for. So if I can't get that one, I'm gonna drive one of those snow remover trucks, you know, for Ted Eisenreich down there in facilities. But no, there's a lot of cool jobs around here. I mean, what makes it cool is the people. I mean, as you know, we have so many great people that work here, and everybody's all about what's best for the Packers, and that's why this place looks the way it does. It's immaculate. We keep it clean. They're always, if there's a, you know, if there's two or three days off, someone's painting somewhere, and it's just a lot of pride, a lot of pride in the bricks at Lambeau Field.
Mike, move back to football here. The people have asked me a couple times as if I have a clue, but, you know, what's the locker room like this week and stuff like that? And basically, I say business as usual. I think the general Packer Nation would be surprised. Guys move on, don't they? Isn't that your experience?
Boy, you have to, because, I mean, you have to learn that, too. Because, you know, it's a younger head coach. I mean, God, it just, you know, you can't be going out walking down there Wednesday morning and still just totally, you know, focus on what happened 3 days ago, because then it carries over to your football team, and you have to be in tune with that. So, yeah, it's something you have to really learn, and it really helps when you're in a 7-day work week, you know, because you have to turn the page. And I'm talking about when you win also. And frankly, it's harder when you win, because, you know, when you don't win, you know, there's a natural refocus element to, hey, we just, you know, didn't get it done. We got to refocus, and so that comes with losing, but the winning is when you have to really refocus. And, you know, when I was in Kansas City, Marty Schottenheimer always had the midnight roll. And after, regardless of what happened on Sunday, at midnight you turned the page, because Monday you came in, you corrected it, you learned from it, and you moved on to the next game plan.
Mike, deal with injuries all the time. And as usual, every week in the NFL, you got several hurt guys, you got Sam, Quentin, Clay, Ty. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, when it comes down to, like, deciding if they're going to go, is it ever a kind of a gut feel, this guy can do it? I mean, I know the medical, there's medical decisions, but is there any influence, just the gut feeling, hey, this guy can go as a head coach?
Well, I mean, you do rely on your gut some, but, you know, my opinion, you have to watch that, because the other variables involved. You know, there's a lot of time and conversation that goes into the 46-man roster each and every week. I have a big board in my office, and, you know, we have the different magnets with the player's name on, and we're always working a different combination based on if this guy can go and this guy can't go, because, you know, usually when you have one position at stress, it, you know, it's going to affect another position, and because you're pulling guys up because you don't want to be short. You don't ever want to be, you know, less than two players away from getting out of a primary personnel group, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. And really, special teams is the biggest challenge. I mean, special teams coaches in this league, you know, how that 46-man roster is up in the air throughout the week. They have the biggest challenge because they have to get the most people ready, and they have the least amount of time. So, and you have to be very conscientious of that.
It seemed like this week the seasons changed from Wednesday to Thursday. We went from summertime on Wednesday to fall on Thursday. And with the season change, Jack and George, is the sports changed? Is it gone from football yet? Are they in basketball or what?
Yeah, Jack just said is the Alloway Bucks. They had their football banquet Wednesday night. Very well done out there at the Swan Club. Just, boy, what an excellent program Paul has over there. And they've started basketball. Actually, I picked up Jack on the way home from, you know, Notre Dame Academy, so the eighth grade team. So they're playing school ball right now, and also their club ball has started. So, yes, we have moved on to basketball.
You've got a gym out by your house, right? Okay. Do you guys play horse?
You know, it's funny that not what you would think, but I'm kind of the rebounder. And past the, you know,
head coach, and you've got to be the rebounder.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I'm because, you know, we have to work on George's shot, or you got to work on Jack's shot. It's, you know, it's not about me at home. I told you, there's seven of us, and I'm number seven. It's when we go over to the gym, I'm feeding the other guys.
And on that note, we'll close. Thanks, Mike. Yeah.